Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's Story Behind the Story. I'm your host, Dr. A. Truewatt. Yes, indeed. What a first hour, folks. If you missed that first hour, shame on you. You got to go back. You have to go back and access the archives. Get that first hour under your belt. This is an incredible topic, folks. Phase conjugation, quantum physics, sounds kind of complicated, but it really, in reality, it's not. It's simply, in my opinion, what could possibly be an answer to a lot of the chaos and problems this Earth is facing. It's not New Age mumbo-jumbo. It's not hocus-pocus. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, it's science in action. Folks, again, thank you for your support as listeners of The Story Behind the Story and Revolution Radio as a whole. We can't function without you. You understand that. We welcome your support. We need your support. The station can survive without your donations. If nothing else, donate to the archive access. But again, any and all gifts, as small or as large as they can be, the station greatly appreciates it. And that brings this, you know, this radio show to you absolutely free of charge. Okay, just about your donations. We need them. We love them. We thank you for your support and your listening ear. Again, a shout out to all the people all over the globe that have sent me emails. Thank you. Right now, we have a group of loyal listeners in Land Down Under. I'm confident this topic matter will be right up their alley, and others around the globe. Thanks again for tuning in. My guest tonight, if you missed the first hour, Mr. Dan Winter from the exotic south of France. Great place to be from. Mr. Winter, thanks again for coming on the air. I apologize, folks, that you don't know this, but this is, again, a tape-recorded show. It's not live. And coming into the second hour, we have had some technical difficulties. Mr. Winter has been very patient so far. Hopefully, it continues to be without a hitch. Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show. Welcome to the second hour.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We were trying to put some context around this sense we have of a growing understanding of the science behind spirituality and also science behind life force and negentropy. The key websites were fractalfield.com, and the plasma device is Therapy, T-H-E-R-A-P-H-I, Therapy.net, and also all at bioactivefield.com. And we have a wonderful education program on fractal science at fractalu.com. So that's some links in the background. The question we were going to play with in this part of the show was just playfully, since we think we need to understand a deep science behind spirituality in order to answer immediate and pressing fundamental questions in our society, that we try to take the big questions and make them simple. And we were joking about the big question was discovered by Kurt Vonnegut sitting at the bar having the breakfast of champions, which was the whiskey, and he asked, "What are people for?" And he meant it. Why do we exist, you know? And I was just going to say, we think we can now begin to answer that question in a meaningful and useful way, even to say what the purpose of consciousness is. We know, for example, that focused human attention causes electric fields to compress. Bill Tiller made that measurement about 11 different ways in his book. Bill Tiller's book was called Conscious Acts of Creation. And so Bill Tiller, a very famous physicist, was clear that focused human attention causes electric fields to compress. That's fundamental information. He was clueless as to why, but at least he knows that it's true. The other thing we know is that it was measured 11 different times that when more than a million children sang the same song at the same time, the solar flares were quieted very dramatically, very significantly. This was measured. So we know that the sun apparently does not go to so much trouble to make gene pools like ours for no reason. I submit that what we add that the sun needs is a centripetal force, and that we need to understand that. I would make another example. When advanced Tibetan dies, it's well documented that rainbows happen. It's on films. It's well known. It's proven. So advanced Tibetans die and rainbows happen. Now, we happen to understand more about the physics of that, too, because if the electrical environment is more conjugate centripetal, that rainbows are more likely. In fact, you can read in my book the physics of why phase conjugation is the reason color and rainbows exist. Basically, when the waves converge in 3D of the donuts called optical photons in a phase conjugate array, they emerge sorted. It's sort of like emerging from a fight in an Irish bar. How's my humor doing?
I'm laughing. Okay. I'm chuckling.
Okay. No. Well, no. The idea is that by experimenting with compression in an Irish pub with a big fight. No, I mean when waves get together and they do perfect compression, they emerge sorted. Now, what that means is phase conjugation causes negentropy and self-organization. So, what should we answer to Kurt Vonnegut? Well, we know that at death there is a need for compression. In fact, when Professor Konstantin Karatkov measured, first of all, he measured the number of hours after death it takes the aura to leave the body, and he measured where the plasma aura goes after death. And we know why, because it goes to the place of compression, because it needs to pick up acceleration. We also know that ghosts are measurable by the presence of cooling force, which we...
So anyway, back to my guest. Mr. Dan Winters comes to us in the south of France, and computer technology is wonderful when it's working, and when it's not, we have a little bit of frustration. We're back online. Without further ado, let's continue on with what we were discussing. What's the purpose of man? What a philosophical question over a breakfast of champions in this case. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, we are trying to understand that from a scientific viewpoint, to really understand science and spirituality, we arrive actually at the issue of what is human bliss or peak experience or euphoria. Because, you know, so many people have a bliss experience when they're in the Therapy, this implosive plasma, similar to having bliss experiences in a church, actually. And interestingly, the word Shem unto the Lord was translated to mean altar in the church. It means the altar in the church was basically a similar kind of implosive capacitor. So what is the relationship between human bliss and what we were talking about, that, you know, when advanced saints die, rainbows happen, and when human beings focus, it causes electric fields to compress. What all this means is that there is the very nature of consciousness adds something electrical to its environment, which I call centripetal or negentropic or fractal or implosive. It actually adds order. This, you know, we can talk about, well, you know, the star, our local star, the sun, went to so much work to grow up some DNA. We must be good for something. And we now know, we suspect we do affect how centripetal is our star, the sun. That's actually been measured when millions of people sing the same song or meditate together, for example. So what does this mean practically to you and I in our daily lives? Well, we think we understand the electrical requirement for bliss or peak experience. We know that during bliss, you cohere the vacuum, you implode your environment, and you have your own source of energy. Literally, you're a zero-point energy device during human bliss. From an electrical engineering perspective, until you have a source of bliss, you're a parasite because you can't make your own energy. But also, it appears that bliss experience is a turning point in collecting an immune system. And that could be talked about in terms of harmonic inclusiveness. There's a whole story about that. So we've been measuring human bliss peak perception for many years in brainwave science. And Dr. Karatkov pioneered this in Russia with the World Without Blindness Project, where young people were being taught to see without their eyes. And it's very possible. And he measured the young people who were successful in seeing without their eyes, and consistently he got brainwaves frequencies which were golden mean ratio, particularly the alpha to beta ratio in brainwaves, which now we know fits the phase conjugate pump wave of the Schumann harmonics, etc. So basically, during bliss, you have implosion in your brainwaves, and the frequency signature is on the cover of my book, like all the important frequencies. And this means that
your brain is doing phase conjugate implosion, and that's creating this bliss experience, and that's adding to the centripetal force of your environment. And basically, it's a kind of a turning point. And so the science of bliss becomes essential. Now, I have a brainwave invention. It's called the Bliss Tuner. You can read about it on the website. And we're developing technologies to do this with breath and the heartbeat and heart rate variability, a new version of heartsring.com. So anyway, you can see that this is relating very closely to what's being talked about in religion.
Yes. Okay. Well, you're right. I see what you're coming from, Daniel. It's very interesting. I'm looking at your website. We've discussed in the prior hour this Therapy, whatever you want to call it, like therapy, but PHI, Therapy.com.
Therapy by Phi.
Phi.net is the website. I see these two, shall we say, glowing, almost a reddish color, replicating again the Egyptian carving in one of this is one of the tombs, the sarcophagi, I believe. I've seen this over the years. It's been an interesting discussion. You see these two very large individuals holding these elongated tubes. You see individuals sitting underneath them that look like they're getting some type of treatment going on there. Explain what you're, you know, how this thing correlates to what you're doing.
The logo at Therify.net is the famous carving that looks like two light bulbs with the sort of spiral up the center, which, you know, there's the von Daniken says, well, the Egyptians knew how to make light and light bulbs, but actually we think their focus was bioactive fields, which is to say rejuvenation fields. That's basically was the Anunnaki problem, is premature aging. So rejuvenation electric fields were their issue. And actually, you can see the little snake-like helix that you see up those plasma tubes in the Egyptian carvings. If actually you look in the plasma in the Therapy, you see exactly that, actually. And so what we think is happening is that a rejuvenation field is being created, and this is essential to their aging issue. Because basically, the historic literature suggests that they were accustomed to having electric fields that prevented aging. This is what pyramids were for, this is what Stonehenge was for, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, anti-aging electric fields, which is to say increased neg entropy, increased self-organization, et cetera. And plasma is how you do it with the noble gases, et cetera. So that's why that's the logo at Therify.net.
Yes, interesting study because of, the collective society, really have just a fractal, if you will, of the real information that came out of not only Egypt, but, you know, right here in America in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I did a couple of shows on this. On my blog, I documented the incredible, talk about a cover-up story of this underground cave tunnel system at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And make no mistake, folks, I tell you, one of the shows that really created a lot of fuss, a lot of, shall we say, hate mail, a lot of threats to pull the plug on the show was that show. And I have a friend, a colleague in Washington who informed me that much of the, shall we say, the need for secrecy is there was technology brought out that they really have no idea what it was used for, including what my friend said, a very powerful computer, along with incredible intergalactic star charts. Evidently, there was some type of anti-gravity capabilities that allowed interstellar travel. Now, we can only just imagine why that needs to be kept under wraps, you know.
Well, clearly, the form of propulsion, whether it's the Vimana or the Nazi Bell, we have the equations there at fractalfield.com/propulsion. Basically, you rotate a conjugator, you create lift. And if you know the cause of gravity, well, then you can fix it, you know. But we were getting back to our question about bliss there. You know, I think in the caves, there's somewhere documented in the Grand Canyon caves, there were some of the dolichophallic skulls, the cone heads, you know, like Tutankhamun.
Exactly.
And we think that's basically evidence of the Hermetic, the Syrian bloodline, et cetera, et cetera. Well, apparently that culture knew how to create a bliss experience, which is what the plasma tubes were about and the Egyptian light bulbs. And, you know, we have a joke. There was a standing ovation in Italy. I was in a church, and I was explaining that the definition of culture was not the color of your wine and your shoe polish and your food. No, the definition of culture is whether you have the skill to teach your young people how to have a bliss experience. And from that definition, in the West, we do not have culture, whereas indigenous peoples did. And they understood the physics, because during bliss experience, you become what is called plasma projective, which is actually a definition of the term shaman, shaman. It's also a definition of successful death. And it's a definition of the real meaning of temple, that essentially that if you design a charge reactor like the Amarna Amenti temple and what Jerusalem used to be, that a group that, say, had learned to lucid dream together, that they could have a collective bliss experience and project their plasma back through the heart of the sun, the heart of the star, which is obviously the only way in and out of here. They called them sun gods in the ancient times. So basically, understanding how you navigate your plasma body, which is the real physics of propulsion, is you know, what this spiritual tradition is about. And this gets to politics in several ways. For example, you know, a beehive is not dumb enough to swarm unless there's royal blood. And the reason is because the royal blood is what steers. Well, the same thing is true of people. In a beehive, this was called the body polis. And the body polis is basically a collective cold plasma charge field created by collective bliss. And so literally, from the definition of electrical engineering, there is no politics unless humans are having bliss experience, because they're not creating any coherent plasma that's projectable. And so this is something new to George Bush, that bliss is the function of politics. what this actually means is that we now have the equipment to make political decisions, because you know exactly what you're going to take through death. You predicted whether you can lucid dream and have a coherent aura called your ka, your boat to the underworld. So the ability to give our children access to that form of what is truly immortality requires them to have a very coherent aura to feed the aura, the ka, the fa'atun is called, to fatten, to feed the aura, and to get a boat into the underworld. So we can make decisions about, oh, well, that means probably we're going to have to look at the vaccination thing again because it messes with the aura, you know, and metal buildings are bad because it messes with the aura. So basically, this is the physics behind what Celestine Prophecy said, which was all human interactions about charge, which is to say, what actually feeds your aura? Here's an example. You're having an argument with your teenager about them using recreational drugs. And you say, oh, well, you're getting holes in your aura. But you see, this is now measurable. The GDV of bio-well.eu measures the aura, and you can actually see the holes developing, et cetera, et cetera. So you can actually predict from aura coherence. And by the way, Therify.net enables aura vision. So suddenly we find out what it is that makes you immortal.
Okay.
A coherent aura. Actually, in Egypt, they called it the ka, your boat to the underworld. The kaba, the ba was the part of your aura which could withstand compression to implosion, which actually now we know what it is. It's called a longitudinal wave, sometimes incorrectly called scalar or torsional, that when you phase conjugate, you produce the longitudinal component. For example, when Ingo Swann heated a thermistor at a distance with his mind, he made a flame with his mind, and as the Cherokee and the Banpo do, and he did it through a Faraday cage. And so now we know the physics, because the brain waves now are phase conjugate, right and left hemisphere, 180 degrees out of phase, making a longitudinal, which is a superluminal component, which will go through about anything, and you reconverge them at a distance. You have the Russian woodpecker and the Luke Skywalker's sword, and they have the Foo Fighters. It's the physics of plasma interferometry. It's the holy grail of fusion, et cetera. It's all about reconverging longitudinal components, which is the physics of God's mind.
On your website, one of your men, I'm not sure what the exact one is. Bioactivefield.com.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a phone ringing. That's a good one. You made a statement that you kind of state that you need to quote fix the music. You want to talk about that for a few minutes?
Could you just say the question again? Say again?
Yeah, when you say we need to fix the music, what are you referring to there?
Well, that's the idea that we know exactly what implosion is by frequency signature, so that actually you can see that you can download the software, fractalfield.com/implosion sound, and it basically takes that frequency signature we use for this healing, and it creates a centripetal bliss experience. So actually, fixing the music is about creating the correct frequency signature to enable not just bliss, but attention in general. Again, practical example. When you remove the poisonous fluorescent light from your kid's classroom and install sunlight, you measure a dramatic increase in attention span, the book Health and Light by John Ott. The physics is that the frequencies of sun is actually harmonics of hydrogen, which are my new equation. And so that creates a centripetal conjugate force, which is a frequency signature. It's a corrected music, and that creates the possibility of attention and, by the way, bliss.
Okay. When you say fix the music, we're talking about the tuning of current hertz frequency, or just...
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Another practical example, if you look at the bioactive glass at bioactivefield.com, the frequency signature of glass, approximate example, is the Myron glass. They're very famous. They create life and growth by a glass whose frequencies are approximately, but not exactly, tuned to the photosynthesis frequencies. But now I have a new equation which predicted which two frequencies exactly perfect photosynthesis, so we can much more actively make bioactive glass, create growth, etc. Also, the bioactive cement uses a dopant inclusion similar to ancient geopolymers to make the cement bioactive, high dielectric barium strontium titanate kind of thing. So it basically implosive charge, implosive optics, implosive sound, it's all fits one frequency recipe, fixed music.
Got it. So yeah, I'm just scrolling down your website, bioactivefield.com, I notice your GDV, gas discharge visualization, pictures, studies. You got to know that golly, this has been back in the early, well, actually late 80s, early 90s. I actually was one of the first ones to bring Korotkov's GDV prototype machines to the U.S. Via Finland. This is back when it was almost impossible to bring anything directly from Soviet Russia. So I have one of the original GDV machines that I've it's kind of a museum piece now almost. So I understand what you're saying here with that. And working with Konstantin Korotkov over the years, you know, it's an amazing story. Measuring the field of whatever you want to call it, prana, chi, spirit energy, upon death is quite an amazing study he performed in.
Yeah, he used ultraviolet and infrared in those cases, but it corresponded. Basically, you know, we've been sponsoring Dr. K around the world too, did a lot of work with him, and he agreed that our biophoton capacitive measure correlated to his Sputnik life force measure. And it started when he was tracking the Kogi to where they made phone calls to ancestors, and he realized you can only do it where the air is fractal, which is to say charge distribution efficiency. And so that possibility defines sacred space ultimately. And when you understand how to measure that, you can predict what capacitive field will cause a seed to grow and define the sacred and decide which architect gets a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our biologic architecture curriculum is, and it's taught in many countries. goldenmean.info/architecture.
Okay, well, let's. I want to just kind of focus. We got about 25, 30 minutes left, maybe. What do you see the future going with this? I don't know your age. Your pictures look like you're probably somewhere maybe in the 60s or 70s. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But let's say you have 20 years. Where do you see this going? Where would you like to see it heading?
Well, I think once we understand what a bioactive field is and what causes life electrically, we can reinvent everything from medicine to architecture to hospital design to burial grounds to birthplaces. because we know exactly what is required for living plasma to succeed going through birth and death. And that reinvents a lot of disciplines. It makes us laugh at university departments, which claim to be the biology department, and they're located in an aluminum and steel building, which is the opposite of biology electrically. Like, I guess they don't get it. Mm-hmm. So we have three separate ways to measure to determine which architect should receive a paycheck in biologic architecture. When the building is done, you measure the seed germination rate, you measure the capacitance, you measure the life force, and basically determine whether biology is going to thrive in that building. So all this stuff about, you know, sacred geometry and architecture is beautiful, but it's only an introduction to the definition of success, which is basically a bioactive field, and that's kind of where we're going, is reinventing life force. And you know, this is called a hermetic science for one very simple reason. Hermes, the symbol of caduceus in physics, is called phase conjugation.
Indeed.
So this is not new information. It's just information that would then allow electrical engineers to define success for architecture and biology and design of churches, for example, the design of temple. A temple is a design to make a bioactive field that reduces aging. So it's obvious that electrical engineers need to be designing these temples. Now, I know I sound like, you know, if the only thing you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, if the only thing I have is electrical engineering, everything looks electrical. Well, that's true. But, you know, who do you want to listen to? Yeah, some guy like the Pope who killed about one-third of the women in Europe, or an electrical engineer tell you the pure principles?
Well, indeed. And, you know, I've long maintained in lectures over the last 20-some-odd years, Daniel, that, and I concur so completely that the body is electrical. We're all this miracle of regeneration of our cells, 70-plus trillion of them, you know, they're specialized into brain capacity, brain waves, measuring the electromagnetic charge of brain waves, electroencephalograms. All that, we're standing waves here, folks. If you don't understand that your body is electric, that the very thoughts, the very things you think itself are generated by electricity, then you're really naive. You're missing it completely. The advances that Mr. Winters talked about in the first hour about lie detection tests, you know, they're measuring electrical impulses in your biological response to certain questions. Folks, it's what we are. We are electrical in this plane of dimension we call time-space, this Earth time. The very definition of time is really a question of measuring entropy and negentropy structures. Am I correct?
Well, mass is defined by charge rotation, which stores the inertia, which defines mass. But also time is defined only by charge rotation, which creates the period we call. And so they both become negentropic when they're phase conjugate, basically. And you know, I like your discussion about we're all electrical. I think our problem in the past was after you get done, you know, with church and somebody says, oh, it's all physics. You say, oh, but that would collapse the richness, you know, it would collapse the beauty. But what we see now is actually the physics increases the beauty and the magnificence and the self-awareness and even the potential for love. For example, you know, we know that you can feel a great deal of spiritual ecstatic bliss and love, but that this is delimited by a very specific physics. For example, you cannot sustain bliss in a steel and aluminum building full of dead air and electrosmog. It's a bad idea because during bliss you implode and you suck in your environment. So actually now we know environmentally with good physics of what's required to have a spiritual experience.
Interesting. Yeah, we're on the same page. You referenced John Ott. Just parenthetically, he's a Chertel relative, a great uncle, actually. In fact, we had family reunions here in the Utah where he would come and was invited to give presentations. I was just a wee little lad back then. I was more interested in just going out and riding the amusement park rides and then listening to, well, it was kind of fun to watch his time. That he did these films for Walt Disney, as I recall, the time-lapse photography, he pioneered that. But yeah, I've got much of his work on light frequencies and things that you've said. So that's my next question to you is simply, okay, what is light? What is light then? Let's define light itself.
Well, Einstein was wrong about the speed limit for light. We're clear on that. Light is a packet of waves of charge, the same way as everything in physics. And, you know, if you say what the ether is made of, it's a wave of charge. Or if you say what plasma is made of, a cloud of charge. You know, the physics world is clear. 99.999% of the universe is called plasma. What they mean by that is the cloud of charge, which when it rotates stores inertia, and then you call it mass. So you really need to say more fundamentally, what is charge if light is a slipknot on the wave of charge? And charge is basically the compression and rarefaction of the ether, which behaves like a liquid and it's compressible. And the compression and rarefaction of the ether is called plus and minus charge, which helps you understand yin and yang and all that cool stuff. And so then back to light, then if you understand that photons travel as donuts, as every wave does, then the photon is a torus. And if only the cone of the eye perceives color, well, you know the physics, that cone is an antenna, can only be used for one thing, to measure phase angle. So color, by definition, is the phase angle or tilt of a photon. And if you read that article, fractalfield.com/fractalphotosynthesis, you'll see the physics, the proof of why basically color is simply phase conjugation, convergence of the photon donuts. In short summary, the angle represented by all the primary colors is specifically only platonic tetracubic angles. For example, green, why it's called negative green, is 90-degree angle. And the reason every plant spits out green called photosynthesis is because the 90-degree angle cannot phase conjugate it, opposite of distribution, which is why a 90-degree angle is evil in astrology and architecture and feng shui. So the only other two angles that are the photons of the all colors which are not cubic are yellow and blue, which are 117 and 63 degrees, which turn out to be the phase angles of pentodeca, which means the photons phase conjugate by cubic dodeca angles, and when they converge in those angles, they're sorted, and that's called color. So there's proof there that phase conjugation is the cause of the existence of color from the physics of light.
Thanks for that, but I bring that up because I've done shows on this topic. There's an incredibly expanding body of evidence. In fact, I'm not sure of the exact years. I've checked my notes, but there were two Nobel Prize awarded in the field of medicine for research on light therapy on what happens with the increase in nitric oxide structures. And golly, you can spend a year each and every day reading 8 hours on the incredible expanding study of light on the human organism, what it does as far as its nitric oxide production. So, you know, would you like to comment on that part of it?
Well, you know, the Therify is effective because we phase conjugate light, and the physics there is quite clear. The noble gases we use are optical phase conjugators, and the reason they're conjugators is because the outer valence electron shells, dodeca-icosa, make them a conjugator, just like clathrates in dodeca water symmetry and monoatomics in superconductors like fullerenes and monoatomic gold and carbon.
So interesting, and so I'm just trying to get a handle on some of what our listeners will be asking me, through either emails or whatever. I've even had people write me snail mail, asking questions. I can almost hear them asking, screaming at me, what evidence is this that this is completely safe? You said it's as safe as a sun lamp. Well, yeah, okay. You say in the website there that there's 3 minutes is all you really should have under this this lamp.
3 to 5 minutes is typical for our therapies right now. Yes, mm-hmm.
That seems otherworldly as far as its potential. Quite frankly, people are going to be saying, Really? I can hear skeptics screaming at me. Why just 3 minutes? Why is that so powerful to do that so quickly?
Because you feel a buzz. We had a shaman in there the other day, and they were quite clear. It was like a stargate open, like a wormhole. So, and your metabolism speeds up. I mean, we're experimenting, and there's power level adjustments. There's a lot of things you can do. But, if you felt it, then I suggest you do feel it. It's like when you're in a very powerful sacred space. Every indigenous tribe knows you don't live there. You go for a short term and then you're...
Right. Okay, so basically, let's try and make it easy to understand in layman terms. So you're 3 to 5 minutes between these two lamps that are pulsing a conjugated field of basically putting out donuts of light, for best, easy to explain. What happens at the deeply cellular level when you're exposed to that? Could you just kind of give us a real good overview?
Well, you see, there's a description of a theory of cancer there at the top of the site, therify.net, which says that cancer is caused when the high-quality ultraviolet light that drives cell metabolism, which is the climax of nutrition for the cell, sex juice, blue fire, builds up at the cell center and has no way out, the same way that kids get promiscuous if you don't give them creative outlets. So in the case of cancer, a spherical membrane is a measure of cancer because it means that the cell is not projecting its plasma. So what we do with it is, so there's no way out for the ultraviolet. So what we do is, by providing a phase conjugate path through center, the high frequencies have a way out for their charge inertia out through the Planck center, which is what phase conjugation is. Basically, restored charge distribution is the opposite of cancer.
And it's kind of safe to say, in my estimation, looking at entropy, cancer is really the cells in entropy, I submit.
Well, the cancer is the cell gone to local distribution instead of to broad horizons of distribution, which means the long wave of charge distribution is broken down and only the short wave survives. So by restoring embedding, restoring broad spectral charge distribution, you eliminate cancer. It's similar to what Albert Szent-Györgyi's Nobel-winning book, Electronic Biology and Cancer. He said that the presence of the triplet state electron discriminated cancer from non-cancer. Triplet state electron is basically an electron that has allowed an extended family, which is, he said, the way it happened was the water in healthy cells was more orderly than ice, allowing effective charge distribution efficiency. And that order is obviously related to the clath rates and the conjugation and the superorder that phase conjugate things like Therify offer. So basically, restored embedding into the longer wave, which is, why contact inhibition is how you define cancer. Because if contact does not inhibit replication, that's the only definition we have for cancer. And what that contact does is allows high frequency ultraviolets to be distributed. So restoring distribution is the opposite of cancer for charge.
And we talked earlier about pain management. One of the biggest things in America these days, the biggest moneymaker for big pharma is opiates for pain management. It's huge. There's even, as much as you watch television over here in America, there's a plethora of advertisements these days about how to eliminate the constipation of too much opiates or regulate your bowels. It's absolutely out of control how many people are suffering in America, and I'm saying the world, and for chronic pain. It's staggering. Staggering.
And we think once you can electrically define pain, which is charge distribution that broke down because the fractal structure lost compression, that you know exactly what electrical environments produce pain. And we have been very, very successful with Therify.net. And I'm not making that claim. You try it for yourself. But so far, I don't know of anybody that came in pain that left with pain right now. But, I'm sure that'll change, but it's amazing.
Let me ask you the next question then, logically. When you have the pain cessation, when it stops, how long does that typically last before the pain comes back?
Well, it's interesting. We had a doctor in Perpignan, and he had just cut his finger as he walked in the room. We put the plasma tubes close, and immediately the healing, not only the bleeding stopped, but you could visibly see the healing happen. And then he noticed his finger spontaneously began to get colder, which we explained before. And then a little later, I think it was about 10, 15 minutes later, because he was only there 3 minutes, he said, oh, the pain's coming back a little bit. But we had only really just focused on his finger. Then we kind of did his whole body. And then he said, nope, permanently gone, pain completely gone. So basically, again, it's about restored compression. And I'm not saying we have a solution to all pain. I don't think we do. But I think we have a deep insight into the cause of pain, which is, you know, failure to compress charge well. Because when you compress charge well, obviously you get distribution and you eliminate pain. Because basically, here's what Mother Nature invented pain for. And if Bayer aspirin knew this, they might have to reinvent themselves. But that Mother Nature invented pain for a very specific reason, because it is needed in order to focus the attention that restores charge compression.
Exactly. Exactly. I explained that to my, you know, I used to be a very active naturopath myself until our wonderful President Obama changed the licensing structure of naturopaths, and basically I don't meet with patients anymore, or I used to call them clients. But yeah, the whole thing I was doing, I was very actively involved, I'm telling you, with working with people that had reached what's called the opiate maximum limit. In other words, they were so much in chronic pain that they just couldn't take any more opiates. It would flat out ruin their liver or kill them. So as a direct result, they were coming to me. And what we were treating them with is a photon light beam structure combined with the it's called Boswellia sacra frankincense from Oman. Okay, the combination of this of the frankincense with the light therapy would break through, and a lot of their pain would be more effective than opiates. And there was not a buildup charge of the opiate structure with it. So I hear what you're saying. Typically now, when somebody has pain relief from this machine, does it last hours or days, or does it vary by the individual?
No, I don't think we should ever claim to have a solution to all pain. No. Right. I think in many cases, localized pain, we've had amazing success so far. But clearly, pain is always saying, oh, the structure has broken down and is bleeding charge. And until the structure is restored to negentropy, it should still be painful. And that's a good thing. But gradually, we think we can restore that structure. Obviously, go forth and sin no more. You know, well, okay, we can restore the field and make it more centripetal and trigger some rejuvenation processes. But, you know, there's definitely some lifestyle aspects to this, which I think, you know, the homeopath and naturopath are ideally suited. And that's why we're doing it in clinical and medical environments.
And like you said, or you touched on this, you didn't really say it. And again, keep in mind, I understand we can't make any claims. We don't claim. This is clearly experimental only. I understand that, this is a really closely guarded, shall we say, monopoly. But the reality is we've got to, you know, what's happening now in the world, I'm talking worldwide now, the current medical model, I submit, is just flat out broken. It's failing people. We're spending incredible amounts of money. I wrote in my edition of my book that I published back in the 80s. I said this current system is simply it can't be sustainable. You can't continue to go down this road. And exactly what's happening. It's talk about entropy. It's like going crazy in chaos.
Yeah. I think the fundamental there is the notion that if people don't take responsibility for their own health, ultimately, which is to say you need to take responsibility for your spiritual body, which means, you know, it's not let go and let God. It's understand the physics of what is spiritual and make it happen for yourself inside yourself. And that means, yes, that people who are afraid of self-empowerment are also afraid to go without health insurance. Maybe I shouldn't make that connection. But the point is, The point being that self-empowerment will always be the difference. And let me give you this the practical example here. So we're having all this amazing results with Therify.net, the plasma field, and it is effective and it is powerful. And there's a kind of a shaman, a wonderful lady who sees Aura here, the partner of our developer here in South France. And she's, every time people get in the Therify, she does this little description of what happened in their Aura, and it was really kind of cool. And she tells every one of them, she says, well, we're lighting this tornado, and we're imploding, and da-da-da, and Therify is helping you. But you need to go inside and talk to yourselves. She tells every one of them that. Like, okay, the tornado has sped up, but unless you steer it, so actually it's about self-empowerment still.
Yeah, I just love, I do love the fractal studies. I mean, this is patterns that we mentioned in the first hour, the Mandelbrot set. I've done so much digging on that. The ratios of the sacred numbers in that that pattern of life creation that you're showing, even going back to the Vesica Pisces sacred geometry of the intersecting circles. I mean,
and the reason why the subtitle of my book is Fractal Space Time: The Definition of the Cause of Gravity and Life Force, is basically that if you take the Planck length of time, that wavelength times multiple's golden ratio, it looks like a caduceus, and that is the only possible 3D wave fractal, stellated dodecaecosa, and that is proof that space and time are fractal for a very specific reason, because it's the only way out of chaos, specifically. Perfected compression is the solution. Einstein said he'd have the solution to his unified field if he understood infinite compression. Of course, nobody told him what a fractal was, not to mention a fractal field.
Okay, you know, my golly, we're out of time. I could talk to you for hours, and why I think I have a sneaking suspicion I will. I'm gonna get with my colleagues, Daniel, and see if we can get a unit here sooner rather than later. I want to do a lot of experiments with it. I have the equipment to measure. I really wonderful. Do both wonderful. Both in water. So
perfect.
Yeah, let's. I'll get fun. With. Yeah, we'll have some fun with it. We're gonna wrap up. Again, go ahead and give your primary website out for people that might want to have questions. How can they contact you?
Sure.
Wrap up with that.
Yeah, fractalfield.com, primary website, fractalu.com, and the device therify.net, all listed at bioactivefield.com. You can contact me, Dan Winter, at fractalfield.com. And I'm very available, and our mission is education. So join us at fractalu.com, and you can actually join the discussion, too. So it's all good.
Fantastic. Thank you again for your patience. We had some technical difficulties that you may not hear in this recording. This is a pre-recorded message program. Again, thanks for your time and your patience. Appreciate you so much. Thanks.
Let's stay in touch. Appreciate you. Thank you, sir. Take care.
You betcha. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to go. Talk to you again next Friday night. Again, appreciate your listening. Appreciate your support. You have a fantastic evening.
Bye, everybody.